calls last week. So, if you know, get your food, whatever, get, you know, going the direction you're going, because you're going to get a chance to call in the show. And the number to call, 601-453-4800. That's 601-453-4800. By the way, a big thanks to Ezra Wall, who handled the internet issues with us last week and worked it through with, along with Chris Saxon, our producer here in the studio. And we just appreciate the folks at MPB so much for carrying the show, because across the state of Mississippi, they got all those towers out there, and between the app and the website and Mississippi Public Broadcasting, you're going to be able to find out the scores from tonight's ball game. We're also going to talk to some of the broadcasters and folks that made up those scores tonight. A guy that's in the studio that's really busy tonight, and he is in the Malone Scores Desk, is George Broadstreet, as always. And George, I know that a lot of the scores are coming in late because of the internet issues, but you probably have some to get the show started.
Oh yeah, Russ, we do. Quite a few, and actually quite a few interesting games as always. And let's take it from the top. Last year's defending 6A champion Pearl goes to Vicksburg tonight to play a very tough Warren Central team, and Pearl came out on top 17-14. Warren Central had a chance to tie the game late with a long field goal, but Pearl prevailed in that game 17-14. I don't know how many games, probably Greg Flynn can tell us later on in the evening, how many games in a row that is for Pearl.
A bunch,
but they've won quite a few. Starkville tonight, they played Oxford, and Oxford may be a little bit off, but Starkville's mighty good. Starkville prevailed in that game 56-7 was the final there. Brandon goes to South Panola. They go on the road tonight to Batesville, to South Panola. And Brandon rolls a very impressive victory. 42-21 was the final there. Clinton at home, their home opener against Vicksburg. You know, Vicksburg was scheduled to play Clarksdale last weekend, and that game was the weather delay.
Rained out,
stormed out. But Vicksburg went to Clinton tonight, and the Arrows rolled. 48-0 was the final there. Clinton a winner. Another game, a little bit of a surprise, I think, but Gulfport tonight beat Pedal by the score of 33-28. It was Hancock beating South Jones 41-34. Madison Central got on the winning track tonight. They played Ocean Springs, and Madison Central was a 35-10 winner. Looking at some 4A scores, Germantown, who took it on the chin last weekend, rebounded tonight, beating Yazoo County by the score 49-6. It was West Point. Now, get this one now. West Point and Louisville.
Ooh.
Louisville is one of the stronger 4A schools. We know how strong West Point is. And West Point struggled a little bit tonight. They beat Louisville by the score of 26-10 was the final. But that was a little bit closer than maybe most would think. Terry tonight beat Wingfield by the score of 51-6. It was Gaucher over Moss Point by the score of 28-7. Forrest, I think, the Prep Patriots play them somewhere down the road.
Next week.
Well, they beat Kosciuszko tonight by the score of 18-15 was the final there. It was Pisgah beating Richland 41-13 was the final. Looking also at some MAIS action. Last report we had, and we'll get a final on this pretty soon, but Jackson Academy was leading over Lamar School 35-14 at the half.
Got an update on that one, George.
All right, go ahead.
UB sent that score to me just a moment ago, and he said that the final was 48-14.
48-14, so Jackson Academy shut out Lamar in the second half, apparently. Park Lane was a winner tonight over Capaya Academy 41-25, and Jackson Prep rolled over Washington School by the score of 41-0. Was the final there. Prep's played two games, and they've scored 92 points, and they've given up none.
None.
So that's pretty good.
So far, pretty good.
That's what I've got right now, and Russ, it's rolling in as we speak.
Yeah, we've had, as I mentioned, we've had a lot of scores from around the state are slow getting in because so many people now depend on the internet to get that to get those done. You had a score from MRA over Pella Academy.
Yeah, MRA did pretty good the first week, but tonight everything was working for them. I briefly, glanced at them. They were way ahead at halftime. Ended up 45-6 over Pillow. Pillow's a great program. It's just I think they may be in one of those situations, a lull in between them coming back up, because back in my day, my brother's day, man, Pillow, Greenville, Washington, Indianola, all those guys were tough to play, man. You had to really buckle it up when you played them.
And you knew when you were playing Pillow you were going to have a Maloof out there, because they had a bunch of them go through that system out there. Remember the year they had the four wide receivers, they just threw and threw and threw the ball? That's the years you're talking about. That's right. When they were strong. Also, did you get a Northwest score tonight?
The last I heard, it was 56-10.
Over?
Over. That's a good question. I had...
it wasn't St. Andrews.
No, St. Andrews was... up 41-18 when I turn it off, but the reason why I don't know is a lot of the announcers, they weren't putting in the visiting team, and I was like, man, dang, come on.
Northwest Rankin was playing Ridgeland.
Okay, well, they were way out in front at that point, so we'll get a final on that one. By the way, when we flip over to George at the Malone score desk tonight, you're going to see the Malone matchups tonight, and these were picked early in the week, and...
There they are.
Yeah, as you look at, you can point to them, making people actually see them. My number one matchup was Pearl at Warren Central. Starkville is hitting on all cylinders. I'm gonna tell you what. There's a lot of people penciling them in. A lot of football to play, but they're penciling them in. Brandon's playing well.
Yeah.
Then you see Summerall and Weston, Lamar School at JA, Corinth at Tupelo. Don't have that one yet. West Point. Just a solid, solid program and a good team. Beat Louisville tonight. Don't have one yet on Charleston Lafayette. Kerry will let us know what happened with Picayune and D'Iberville. And Laurel Hattiesburg, what do they call that? The little brown jug?
Little brown jug, that's
yeah.
Right.
So that, and they play that pretty early in the season. Hattiesburg was 1-0. Laurel was 1-0. And I think, yeah, it's at Hattiesburg tonight. So they were playing... down there, and that is always a great football game. We'll be getting a report on that one as well. Again, be sure to go ahead and mark this phone number down, 601-453-4800, and between 11:15 and 11:30, we're going to open up the phone lines and let you, the listener, call in, talk about your game, maybe one that you saw, maybe there was controversy, maybe it was a blowout, whatever. We want to hear from you, the Friday Night Under the Lights listener out there, and you may be listening on MPB or the app or the computer, whatever you're listening to. Give us a call, 601-453-4800. Again, a lot of these scores tonight are going to be rolling in a little bit behind. I don't know what they're going to do about that situation. There's only like one backbone for the internet, and when it goes out nationwide, I mean, everybody has trouble.
I'll call President Trump, get him on that.
Get him on. Yeah, call that during the break. Give him a call.
Call the guy over in China.
Yeah, he doesn't have enough to do, so yeah. Give him a call. Also, want to remind you that the scores desk made possible tonight by Malone Roofing. They started as roofers. They became innovators. We are searching for scores. If you've got a score that you want to give us, you can text here. You can give me a text, 769-257-8779. By the way, Will the Thrill has all of these scores on a sheet along with Dr. Dave Schaus. And after the show tonight, it takes him about an hour and 45 minutes
well,
somewhere on there.
You're talking about, well... Well, before I left home to come over here, Will left me a message and said, I'm stuck in traffic and I can't get home to get on my computer.
Oh, man.
So anyway, that's part of the problem. And then I like to never got here because somebody decided to just redo the interstate. I mean, it's been messed up for 25 years, and Friday night we decided to fix it.
Man, it was that way when I was a kid.
We're on the same section.
They're only like 40 years late.
Yeah. So I also want to remind you that tonight we'll be talking with Ray Coleman. We'll talk to him about the Clinton game, and we'll talk to John Luke McCord, who's probably going to give us a report on that Corinth-Tupelo game. We don't have the score right now, but John Luke will fill us in. Greg Flynn going to talk about the Pearl Warren Central. Brian Eubank. We'll talk about the JA win over Lamar tonight. And then, of course, Josh Jackson at right before the top of the hour. He'll be along. By the way, the last score we got, George, was Crystal Springs was beating Florence, and tonight the Florence Eagles go down to the Tigers of Crystal Springs, 28-22. Wow. They're dancing in the street in Crystal Springs.
That is a big win for the Tigers.
It was huge.
That's a big win.
It's a huge. Jake just, I guess Jake is done with his game and he's on his way back. He said that Hattiesburg Laurel is set for tomorrow.
Okay, yeah.
So it won't be.
Okay.
Boy, can you imagine that game in August being the only game in town? I think the ticket sellers will be really pushing tickets on that ball
game.
Absolutely. So thank you, Jake, for that. Jake was in South Panola tonight. Hey, here's a couple of scores. I know you got some. Stringer beat Clarkdale, 45-0. Hey, Granny sent that to us. Brian Grantham sent that to us. Thank you, Brian.
I got a couple of more. Noxubee County beat Columbus tonight, 35-12.
It's a big win.
Yeah, it is. And Poplarville beat Pearl River Central big tonight by the score of 50-14.
We talked with Clay last week about that ball, about the Poplarville. They've got a pretty good ball club down there. So if you've got a score, we don't have it on the app yet. Will's trying to get home. Dr. Dave is trying to get him up on the website as fast as he can. And Matt, what other scores did you come up with?
Let's see here. St. Andrews, like I mentioned earlier, 41-18. I'm trying to...
Over who?
That was... I don't have.
Were a winner, or was that a final score?
Yeah, the final score, and they're 2-0 on the year. Last year, they're having a great year. Last year, they were 5-6 overall. So this year, they're starting out great right now, 2-0, and blowing out some people.
Well, we're going to step away and take a time out here. We'll remind you that tonight's show made possible by Shelter Insurance and your agent Matt Timms. He's ready to help you with your insurance needs. We'll take a timeout here on Friday night under the lights. When we come back, we'll start our interviews. Ray Coleman, the voice of the Clinton Arrows, is on deck, and we'll also talk to John Luke McCord and find out what's going on in high school football in the northern part of the state. It all continues right here as Friday night under the lights rolls on. Keep it here.
Every day at Malone, we exist to improve our community, embracing technology, empowering people, striving to be better than yesterday. Malone Roofing Services and Friday Night Under the Lights have been impacting Mississippi for decades with the skill and dedication that has developed lasting relationships in our respective fields. For roofing, metal walls, and maintenance, Malone Roofing Services has you covered. Find out more on social media and at ecmalone.com. But for great football, it's Friday Night Under the Lights.
Judging from these bills, I need some business funding. But it's so confusing because every time I ask for business funding, they pull my credit report, which is a credit inquiry, which lowers my credit score when I have credit inquiries on it. I don't know who came up with this concept of credit, but I don't get it. I don't know why I didn't think of this before. Credit concepts at 800-985-9367. One call to Credit Concepts, and I'll find out for myself why they have a 99% customer satisfaction. So if your company's like mine, give them a call today or go online to creditconcepts.com. Remember, that's two K's in the name. Credit Concepts. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Friday Night Under the Lights, made possible tonight by the Boss Ben Group. The Boss Ben Group, writing business plans every day and cultivating America's small business communities. Russ Robinson along with Matt Timms. George Broadstreet is in the Malone Scores desk. And I think it's time to go to the telephone as we want to talk with Ray Coleman, who called the Clinton-Vicksburg game. And good evening, Ray. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on, man.
Well, we got to hit Ray's corner when we can. I mean, that's all there is to it. Ray. First of all, it's good to have you back in the business. I know that you missed it. We missed you. You did a great job when you were on TV. But now you're play-by-play man for the Clinton Arrows. Very quickly, what was it? A difficult transition for you? Or is it gone pretty smoothly?
You know, honestly. I thought it would be a little bit tougher. I like to say my preseason was the first half of the South Panola versus Clinton game.
Yeah.
So I kind of had my bumps and bruises early on. But, man, it's natural. I'm watching the game. I know the game. And most importantly, I'm just having fun. I don't really consider it like a job or a task. It's just I'm actually bringing the experience to the folks at home that maybe weren't perhaps able to make the game that night.
And you know what I tell and sportscasters across the state that's helped me over the years? Let the game come to you. Don't take the game to the people. Let the game come to you. And apparently tonight, the Clinton Arrows took the game to you a lot.
Yeah, man. It was quite easy calling this one. I guess the hardest part tonight was just trying to decide what we were going to talk about in the second half because the game was over after the first quarter, man. 31 points in the opening quarter by the Arrows. I think Coach Jeff Audley was really excited to see that the offense found their rhythm. They struggled a bit in that opening game versus South Panola, but they certainly found their rhythm here in the second game versus Pittsburgh.
Well, you know, Ray, last week the defense showed up, and of course you got the big win over Panola, and there was a lot of people saying, we got to find an offense. We got to find an offense, and we'll be talking with Judd Boswell later on in the Malone Roofing Coach's Corner. But and albeit Vicksburg, you were out. You know, Vicksburg was out man tonight. You still got to score that many points on somebody. Who was toting the mail for Clinton tonight?
A little bit of everybody, man. So 383 yards of total offense. So we're talking close to 400 yards. Hunter Holsey had three touchdown passes. The quarterback, I believe, he threw for 230 yards. Only five incompletions the entire night. So he was big. Greg Evans. Carried a bulk of the yardage on the rushing attack. I believe he had about 62 yards with three total touchdowns. He had two rushing and one reception. So it was kind of by committee in the backfield. They had a couple of guys, and Hunter Holsey was sharing the wealth when it came to kind of, you know, choosing his different receivers, man. Just an awesome performance by the offensive side of the ball tonight.
I had the pleasure of talking with Holsey's grandmother over the summer. We were in a restaurant eating, and she introduced herself to me, and they were really excited for this young man, said he was going to have a really, really good year this year and kind of become the field general that they need since Cam Akers has been gone. Is that kind of what you're seeing?
Absolutely, man. You know, obviously their games are totally different. Cam is built on your power and speed. Hunter is more of a game manager, but he can also spin it, man. He threw some absolute dimes tonight. One in particular I'm thinking about, deep shot down the left sideline to his receiver, E.J. Mason, just dropped it right over his shoulder, man, and man-to-man coverage. So Hunter can spin it. He's been in the system a few years now, and he's a kid, a young man that gets it, knows that he doesn't have to do too much. His arm talent is more than enough to keep his team in games and sometimes just winning if they need him to do so.
Well, it's, a rather easy one tonight, but as the schedule gets further in, you know what these Arrows are going to have to face. So in the third game of the year, who are they facing next week?
Oh, man, they got a big one next week. They travel to Brandon to face the Bulldogs, who I believe beat South Panola tonight. So a matchup of 2-0 teams in the state's oldest rivalry, man. I think that'll be a good litmus test for the Arrows to see where they kind of match up in this 6A classification.
And I'll tell you what, whether you're playing at Clinton, whether you're playing at Brandon, you get a nice stadium to go watch those games. And so you should have a lot of fun over there next week as the Arrows travel to Brandon. Ray, have a great weekend. Thanks so much for making us a part of your Friday night here on Friday Night Under the Lights.
Anytime, man. Thank y'all for having me, as always.
All righty. Thanks so much. You know, Matt, it is early in the year. And I was telling somebody, you know, you had a lot of these lopsided scores. But the bottom line is, you can't play at a high level for 14 weeks every week, can you? I mean, it emotionally, it gets to you after a while.
It's tough. It's tough to be consistent. And, I mean, that goes for college and
pro football.
And I'm giving a shout-out to my 12-year-old team, but you're going to be the exception. You're going to be consistent every week or else. But
you don't get that opportunity.
No, it's hard with 12-year-olds, man. It's keeping their attention. But yeah, it is because, I mean, you're a teenager. You got a lot going on, a lot of emotions, and sometimes you have a big game, and you don't want to make excuses, but if you get in a knockdown drag out one night, it emotionally, it takes you 2 or 3 days maybe to get back
Car,
and by the time you get your energy back, here's a Friday night coming along. Coach Carlisle back in the day at MRA used to just threaten us, you know, with violence. So, you know, we got back on track. Yeah, we got on track real quick, man. He had several different
things. He had a way of doing that.
He'd just look at you and make you get fired up. So anyway,
well, we want to take a look at what happened in the northern part of the state of Mississippi tonight, and for that we bring in John Luke McCord. John Luke, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Good to hear from you guys. What's up?
Good to hear from you. I got to tell you, we had a lot of internet issues down here tonight. Weather last week, internet this week. Did you have any internet issues up there?
No. We were all right on our internet up here. You know, since Mississippi, and there are times you go through a patch here and there on the way to a high school football game with some bad internet, but no, it was all clear up here tonight. The scores rolling through.
Well, who'd you cover tonight?
I covered Pontotoc tonight, and they hosted Senatobia. That was a game that was really exciting last year. Went down to the wire again this tonight. But Pontotoc scores a 23-14 victory. They stay 2-0 on the year. But, you know, really, if we're looking for another storyline from the North tonight, it might be Tupelo Golden Wave again. And granted, they do have some injury situations going on with their quarterback, their top receiver. They went to overtime with a 4A school up here this way tonight in Corinth. And Corinth's really only known for their defensive side, you know, the defensive
right.
side of football.
Right.
That was anything but a defensive game. As Tupelo needed 35 points and another 16-point comeback this week to beat the Corinth Warriors.
Well, and you know, those two have been rivals for a long time because they're up there. And but you're right. I mean,
yeah.
Tupelo, 6A school, and Corinth, one of your better 4A schools. But you're right, Corinth, as a rule, doesn't score in the, you know, 30s, 40s, and 50s in a row. And sounds like they've got some offense up there now.
Well, and look, and I'll tell you this. I know there's been a lot of frustration around the Corinth program with, you know, sort of running the wing tee system. It's antiquated in a lot of places in the state, but they still run that up there at Corinth. Tonight, from reports I heard, they were going 5 wide. Really
Whoa.
Trying to change it up against Tupelo and get some new things going. And so, obviously, it worked. Look, Corinth is not a great offensive team. Even if they are finding some footing offensively, they got a lot of young guys that weren't starters last year. And they're able to score 29 points against Tupelo, which, you look, Tupelo's got two players out on the offensive side of the ball. Okay, so I get that. They've only got one guy out on the defensive side of the ball from last week, and they give up 29 points. So, look, they've got to be a big concern, the Golden Wave do. Because they surely gave up a lot of points tonight to Corinth. And so last week they get a close comeback victory that I was pumped about. This week I'm a little cautious on Tupelo.
Well, interesting ball game, and I really like that Pontotoc score over Senatobia. Pontotoc really made a nice run last year. Can they do it this year?
Well, and that's sort of what I was just talking to a guy, you know, before I left the game, a fan there. But I think this Pontotoc team has exactly the chops to be where they have been the last 2 years. They won 13 games in 2016. They won 11 last year. And really, they get beat out in the second round of the playoffs last year.
Yep.
And it's a big surprise. It's that Corinth team we were just talking about.
Right.
But I think this Pontotoc team, they continue to have players emerge on the offensive side and the defensive side through week two. And I'm telling you, I think the collection of talent that Pontotoc has at the offensive skill spots and at linebacker and really in the front seven on defense, they've got two more interceptions tonight. So that's 4 on the season through 2 games. I think this Conestoga team under Jeff Carter, they've become known as a great defensive program.
Yep.
But they've got the offense this year, which they were rebuilding on that side last year. I think this is a Conestoga team that can make it to North Half this year. I don't think they quite have the chops to beat Knoxville County, the Lewisville up here in North, a part of the state in 4A. But I think they've got a chance to be that third team looking in with a shot this year, like they were in 2016.
I'll tell you what, you mentioned Lewisville. They hung in there with West Point tonight. They got beat 26-10. But they hung in there with what a lot of people would think is the number one team in 5A in West Point.
No doubt. Probably as we start to look, unless you really like, Hattiesburg and Laurel are going to go at it tomorrow. Those are great 5A teams. And Lafayette is back in 5A. Well, I guess they're emerging in 5A. The last time they were good, they were in 4A. So those are the only other teams in that conversation besides West Point. And they continue to show early in the season, they again should not be doubted. So Lewisville's a team that went down to Florida last week. They beat a 7-8 team in Navarro. I thought they were going to be right there on West Point's heels. I think maybe the more realistic victory for Lewisville coming up is going to be against 4A foe Knoxville County. That could be their signature win. But look, that's a loaded Lewisville team.
It is.
West Point handled them again. They're going to be the 5A favorites again, no doubt.
Thanks, John Luke. We'll talk to you next week. We'll be back in a moment.